Tolite brings you Everything for the Boys, the Command Theater of the Air, starring Mr. Ronald Coleman. His guest, Miss Betty Davis. Everything for the Boys is presented by the Electric Autolite Company and its 22 great manufacturing plants. Builders of precision equipment for 35 years. World famous for Autolite spark plugs, batteries, wire, cable, and electrical systems for automotive, aviation, and marine use. Your host, Mr. Ronald Coleman.
Thank you and good evening. Yes, I think we may say a very good evening, for we have a famous guest, a great play, and a shortwave conversation to a very remote place on this globe. We were delighted when Betty Davis said she would be here with us tonight, and particularly in a reunion with Somerset Maugham's great emotional story of human bondage. Arch Obler has written an exciting radio dramatization of that novel. After the play is over, Betty and I are going to talk by shortwave to some American soldiers in Reykjavik, Iceland. We're going to talk of life, love, and the absence of trees in the Arctic. So to them and their comrades stationed in the far north, we dedicate this global half hour.
Before our play begins, a simple question. How many hands is a pilot? Two, you say? In our four-engine bombers, they are multiplied many times electrically. These electrical helpers are called aircraft relays. I'd like to tell you about them, how they help the pilot, the bombardier, the flight engineer, but I'm sorry this information must be withheld. I can tell you that they are a type of remote control switch precision device that must obey commands with split-second speed. Aircraft electrical relays have greatly contributed to modern airplane design and production. Autolite men and women, backed by their 35 years of experience in precision manufacturing, have designed, engineered, and are now building such aircraft relays in volume. New types of materials, plus Autolite's manufacturing know-how, have resulted in an aircraft relay weighing less than half its original weight. At the same time, Autolite engineers increased its load capacity, with contact life outperforming test requirements as much as 300%. Knowing how to build such dependable equipment is proof again that the name Autolite means precision manufacturing. The play of human bondage. The players, Mr. Ronald Coleman and his guest, Miss Betty Davis. A priest sits in the quiet of his study. These are the thoughts in his mind.
I am a minister of God. Tonight I sat at the bedside of one who was very ill. Her thin face was a heavy mask of powder, a death's head with a twisting mouth. She had a strange story of hate to tell me. Hate for a man named Philip Carey. How he had cheated her, and he a gentleman. She told me many things. How one night the man had come into the tea shop where she worked. He had told her he was from the medical school nearby, and so she had been pleasant to him. But as the woman talked, strangely, somehow, I could sense the untruth behind her words.
What you want? Me and Martin?
Well, I'd rather just talk to you. It really is silty weather outside, isn't it?
It makes no difference to me. I'm in here all day.
Oh, that's true, of course, isn't it? Yeah.
I'm here to take orders and wait on customers. I've got nothing to say to them, and I don't want them to say anything to me.
Well, I beg your pardon. I do indeed.
Her name, she told me, was Mildred Rogers. And she said that since this man, Philip Carey, was a cripple, a clubfoot, she began to be particularly nice to him out of simple decency. And again, somehow, through her words, I sensed the lie and the truth.
You don't mind my walking home with you?
Why should I mind? If you can keep up with me.
Oh, you mean my...
If the shoe fits, wear it.
I don't know why I tolerate you.
You don't have to talk with me, you know.
When I'm away from you, I think it's impossible. When I'm with you...
I don't know what you're talking about. If you don't take me out, some other fellow will. I come from good family, you know. Was your father a professional man?
He was a doctor.
I knew it. The minute you came into the shop, I saw you was a gentleman in every sense of the word.
Look here. May I call you Mildred?
You may if you like. I don't mind.
Call me Philip, won't you?
I will if I can think of it.
You might go as far as to say you'd like to.
Why?
Why, it doesn't matter. Would you come and see a play with me?
Why?
Because I want you to, because I want to be with you.
Well, I'd better go in now. This is where I live.
Oh. Mildred.
What are you trying to do?
Won't you kiss me goodnight?
Impudence.
I want to kiss your thin, pale mouth.
Oh, you can go to the devil. You go to the devil.
She went on telling me how nice she had been to the man. How very nice.
Why are you waiting for me?
Well, Mildred, have you forgotten? You said you'd go out with me.
No. My aunt's ill. Got to go and stay with her.
You're going out with somebody else. You are, aren't you? That man Miller that always comes into the shop, isn't he?
You've been spying on me, and I thought you was a gentleman.
It is Miller.
Well, I'd rather wait for him than have to wait for you. Put that in your pipe and smoke it.
Mildred, you... Mildred, don't be beastly with me. I'm awfully fond of you. I can't help it. Please dine with me. We'll go anywhere you want.
No.
You keep looking around for him. I'm standing here, and you're looking for him. Mildred, I can't go on like this. It's too degrading. If I go, I go for good. Unless you come with me tonight, you'll never see me again.
Good riddance to bad rubbish.
You. All right. Goodbye.
Are you back again? Do you want to order some tea?
Don't remember that I said I'd never see you again.
Oh, did you? Then what are you doing here now?
Wish I knew why I came back. I know.
Do you want to order some tea?
Mildred, don't be beastly to me.
You're a funny fellow.
I'm very simple. I'm a blasted fool who's in love with you with all my heart and soul. Well, I've said it. I know you don't care tuppence for me, but I've said it. Mildred, I can't endure this anymore. I've tried to get over you and I can't. I never shall. Marry me. Do you hear me? Marry me.
She told me that Philip's talk of marriage made her begin to think of marriage for the first time. There was a nice elderly gentleman who came into the shop, a commercial traveler by the name of Miller, a good, substantial citizen. And so, she had gone away with this Mr. Miller. Philip was to blame, she said. And so when Mr. Miller left her, she had come back to await the birth of Miller's baby.
What are you talking about? Oh, you mean Griffith. He's an unpunctual devil. He's probably making love to one of his girls somewhere along the line.
That's not the way to talk in front of me.
Oh, come, come now. The facts of life are the facts, after all. Oh, Griffith! Griffith, over here!
I say, he's a handsome
gentleman. Right. Oh, Philip, do forgive me. I'm terribly sorry to be so late. Quite as long as you're here. Mrs. Miller, may I present my best friend, Harry Griffith.
How'd you do?
Well, this is indeed a pleasure, Mrs. Miller. I've heard a great deal about you.
Really? Not so much as I've heard about you.
What's this? Has Philip been blackening my character?
Oh, no, he's just been saying the nicest things about you.
Mm-hmm.
I've been so looking forward to meeting you. Why don't you sit down here, Mr. Griffith?
Well.
Isn't the sea wonderful today, Mr. Griffith? Blue light. Like the promise of heaven. Isn't it now?
Tell me, Mildred.
Philip, I might as well tell you and have done with it. I can't marry you at all.
Griff.
Yes, I don't know what's come over me. Well, say something.
I will. I paid out the money to keep you until your baby was born. I paid for your doctor. I paid for you to go to the seashore. I paid for the keep of your baby. I paid then, I'm paying now. Haven't you any loyalty in you?
If you was a gentleman, you wouldn't show what you've done for me in the face.
Oh, for heaven's sake, shut up. If I were a gentleman, I wouldn't waste my time with a creature like you. A crazy, Celia. Crazy, wanting to be with you. You're coming with me to Paris, and you're going to marry me on Saturday, and take the consequences.
All right.
You go?
Don't make me laugh. I wouldn't let you touch me now if I was starving. I'm through with you. Oh, Philip, before I go, there's these bills.
Bills? Or what?
The dress you said I should have, the baby's keep with Mrs. Cleary, and my rent that's due on Saturday.
What of it?
I need the money very much.
Do you?
I should think you'd want to give it to me.
I won't.
Well, I'll ask Harry Griffith.
Will you? He owes me £7 this moment. Goodbye, Mildred. Oh, here, take the money. Take it.
Well, you might at least be civil about it. If you want, I'll kiss you goodbye.
Don't touch me. Goodbye.
Good riddance. Hello? Hello, could I speak to Mr. Griffith, please? Oh, it's you, Harry. I didn't recognize your voice. Harry, listen. I've got the money. We can go away, like you said now. We can go away now.
She said Philip Cleary left her then, walked out on her. And then she said that after a few weeks, his conscience began to hurt him because he looked her up at the apartment of the relative where she was staying. But the lie was clearer than ever before.
Milk.
Well, Patsy, seeing you.
What are you doing out here?
What do you think?
Uh-oh.
Leave me alone.
I have a few problems with your broker.
I was just walking along here on my way back to my lodging. I stepped in one of the girls from where I work.
Don't lie. For God's sake, don't lie now.
Oh, Philip.
Come on. Come on and get into the cab. Come on, get. Everything will be all right. Put it in.
Told me he began to plead with her to come back to him. And finally she agreed. Only for the baby's sake, she said.
How are you? The baby all right?
The baby's sleeping.
Oh. Well, I think I'll go back to my own room.
Bella, what do you want to go to bed so early for?
Well, it's nearly one. I'm not used to late hours, he said.
Philip.
Yes?
Philip, it's almost 2 weeks now since you asked me to come and stay here. I didn't mean what you thought I meant when you said you didn't want me to do anything to you except just to cook and take care of the flat and that sort of thing.
Didn't you? I did.
Oh, don't be such an old silly.
Well, I meant it quite seriously.
shouldn't have asked you to stay here under any other condition.
Why not?
Well, I can't explain it. I feel differently, that's all.
Very well. Just as you choose. You're a fool. Good night.
She told me she did everything to make life easier for the man. Wash for him, cook for him, sew for him. But his treatment of her became worse and worse until she couldn't endure his cruelty any longer. But as her thin lips said the hateful words, in my own mind I saw the truth.
You're home late, Philip.
Oh, why aren't you in bed?
I waited up for you. Sit here by me.
All right.
Philip.
Yes?
I do love you.
Please, don't talk rot. Why don't you go to bed?
Philip, I can't live without you. I want to make up for all the harm I did you. Philip.
Mildred, please, your arms are...
Philip. Oh, Philip.
No.
I need you, Philip. Philip, now.
Mildred, stop it. Too late. I loved you too much. There's nothing left now. I can't look at you now without thinking of Emma Miller and Griffith. Not that I can't help it. That's the way it is.
You old silly. I believe you're nervous.
You disgust me.
What?
You heard me. You disgust me.
Me? Me, I disgust you. Well, you disgust you. Kiss me. And we laughed at you, Griffith, and me. And at you, because you were such a mug, a mug, a mug. And you want to know why? A cripple, a cripple, a cripple.
Where I was so very nice to mean to me, I had to go away. He said, I'm telling you the truth.
Keep quiet, you brat, you. We'll be out of here soon enough. I've got work to do. The night is beautiful picture. There's the first one. Oh, stop it, stop it. I'll smash it over you. Now the second one. That will show it. The night now, his favorite color. Rich. Now his book. Oh, no, no. First the mirror. Now his book. Thank him, book. There,
there, that will show him. That will show him. That will show him. The words came slower now as she told me how she went away quietly, determined never to see him again. And then she was ill, and since she had nothing, she called him back to look after her, as a doctor looks after a woman.
Mildred,
Mildred,
you shouldn't be out. You're sick. I warned you weeks ago.
I'll hold the door.
Oh, for heaven's sake, come along.
Let go of me.
Let me take you home. Please listen to me, Mildred.
No, no, let go of
Mildred.
Me. I'll do as I please.
Please,
let go of me. I'll do as I please.
And then her last words. I don't believe I will ever forget them.
I haven't seen him now for a long time. I hear he's a regular doctor now. And there's a girl. Good girl. And he's going to marry her. Marry her. You hear that, Father? Marry her. I hate you. And tell him that I hate you. Got to know that. Tell him.
tell him Mildred sent him. That she never wanted him. Never will want him. Tell him that, Father. Tell him Mildred sent
it. I will tell him. I will tell him you are sorry for what you did to him.
What? What did you say?
I will tell him you are sorry for what you did to him and ask his forgiveness.
No. No, that isn't true. I... Oh, yes. Yes, it is. He was so good to me. Brushing my hair like he used to. Making me feel like a lady. When I was nothing. Nothing but dirt under his feet. Nothing. Nothing. Oh, Philip. Philip, I'm sick and I'm scared. You were so good to me. The only one that ever was. Why did I let you go?
Just heard Miss Betty Davis and Mr. Ronald Coleman with Hans Conried in Of Human Bondage, is dramatized for radio by Art Gobeler. The original score was written and conducted by Gordon Jenkins. While the two-way shortwave radio circuit is being set up between Hollywood and Iceland, a thought about one of your problems. Do you know how important a distributor in your car is to efficient engine performance and economy? It's very important. Because it distributes high-voltage electrical current to the spark plugs at the proper instant. In a six-cylinder automobile engine running at 35 miles an hour, the spark must occur every 1/80th of a second. Imagine, about 5,000 times every minute. No matter how strong the electrical impulse may be or how perfect the wiring, an efficient spark can only arrive at the spark plug through a healthy distributor. During these war days, when your car must last longer than ever before, the life of the distributor should be safeguarded by giving it greater care. Drive into any one of the thousands of Autolite service stations, your local car dealer or serviceman. Have the electrical lifeline in your car checked. This will include the distributor. If any of the parts are worn or out of adjustment, replace them, if necessary, with original factory parts, Autolite parts. They will help keep your engine operating at top efficiency and economy. Remember, the name Autolite means precision manufacturing.
Well, Mr. Coleman, we'll be ready on your call to Iceland in just a minute.
Thank you. That just gives me time to say this to you, ladies and gentlemen. We have a problem. Hundreds of letters have come to me from relatives of men overseas, asking me if I would arrange our shortwave conversation this week or next so that we could talk to their own sons, husbands, and brothers. Well, we'd like nothing better than to be able to grant all these sincere requests and make these dreams come true. But unfortunately, the regulations of the War Department make that impossible. The men on the fighting fronts to whom we speak are chosen by the military authorities. We know of their identity only a matter of hours before broadcast time. Of course, from week to week, it may happen that someone close to you will appear in this program. But as with so many things in life, that's a matter of happy chance. Now, one more thought. To you who long so much for the voice of someone you love, think of the great happiness that comes to the families of the boys who do speak on this program. Then I'm sure you'll be happy with them and for them. You might think of the boys, too, as if they were your own. They are, in a way, aren't they? Yours and mine. And now, engineer, how's the call coming?
Reykjavik Iceland is standing by, Mr. Coleman.
All right.
Hollywood to Reykjavik. I've never done that before.
You're always wonderful in a new role, Betty. You put on these earphones, grab a fur coat, and let's join the boys up at Reykjavik on the Flaxafloy.
What's the fact, Miss Loy Runner?
What?
Ben would send her his love.
Oh, I'm sure of that.
Well, just so she'll get the message, you deliver it. Go ahead.
All right. From Ben to Charlotte, I love you.
Ronnie, you're giving that sergeant an awful lot to live up to. But what are the other messages?
Well, there's one from his newest nephew, James. He's only 5 months old, so you haven't seen him yet, Ben. But your mother quotes him as saying, "Dada Glub," which liberally translated means, "I'm very proud of my Uncle Benny."
In Icelandic, Ben. And your father says he hopes you're keeping up with your music.
That's right. They were all proud when they saw your photo in Life magazine a few weeks ago. You were leading carolers on Christmas Eve.
That was just after you'd gotten through with the services to those of Jewish faith.
Betty, do you know what his mother says Ben misses most of all?
Well, he comes from Milwaukee, so I'd say it's beer.
No, it's trees.
Trees?
Yes, they don't have many trees in Iceland. I think we ought to do something about that, Betty.
For instance?
Well, can you make the sound of a tree?
That's one role I've never tried.
Well, how about a little help from the sound department?
All right.
You hear that, Ben? Well, we've just brought you a charming maple tree on the Kinnickinnick River.
That's as bad as flax, Floyd. By the way, what is that?
Betty, there's another young man waiting for a message.
Oh, yes, Private Jimmy Jones.
We understand, Jimmy, that your regimental commander calls you the ideal soldier for contributing to Icelandic friendly relations.
Oh, really? I would like to talk to this young man. I've known a few friendly Joneses myself.
Well, he's quite a fellow, Betty. Jimmy, we heard about your risking your own life to rescue a child from the path of an automobile. Just to make you feel at home, we've brought you something from your hometown of Pittsburgh.
Yes, Jimmy Jones, from Hollywood to Iceland to Pittsburgh. Listen.
There you are. How's that, Jimmy?
Now, Ronnie, before we go any further, I want something done about my request.
Oh, yes, I know. About Flaxie, Floyd. Well, Frank Martin, do you know?
Why, yes, it's a bay, of course. Reykjavik is on the bay of Flaxafloy.
Of course, Betty.
Oh, is that all? You know, boys, I'm ashamed to admit it, but I really thought...
Time's up, Miss Davis.
Maybe it's just as well.
Just as well. Good night, Sergeant Cohen and Private Jones. Good luck and God bless.
Good night, boys.
Good night. Ladies and gentlemen, those boys so far from home bring to mind a young lad who might have been from your town before he enlisted. He married his high school sweetheart. A year later, he went overseas. It was rather like the end of the world for both of them, especially because he wouldn't be around for their baby's arrival. Well, he saw plenty of action, but one thing that worried him was that the mail was not getting through regularly, and the lad began to worry. The baby, perhaps his wife, was sick. So he went to the Red Cross field director. A cable was dispatched to a Red Cross chapter back home. Not long after, these reassuring words arrived. Son born last week, wife writing regularly, both are well. Now, the Red Cross needs your help now to carry on this and many other services here and overseas. The Red Cross is your hand and your heart.
Next week, Global Life cordially invites you to another program of Everything for the Boys, your new global half hour uniting the home front and the fighting front. Your host, Ronald Coleman, in a dual role, will have as his guest Miss Ann Baxter in Art Tobler's dramatization of the very amusing comedy, The Ghost Goes West, dedicated to a pair of our fighting men who will speak directly from their distant base in Chongqing, China.
Our thanks to Betty Davis for being with us tonight. Until next week, when Ann Baxter's our guest, this is Ronald Coleman saying good night to you and the boys, and God be with you.
Betty Davis, whose latest film is old acquaintance, appeared through courtesy of Warner Brothers Pictures. This program has come to you from Hollywood. This is the National Broadcasting Company.